by publicmedia.org. Well, right now, we are facing our most immediate and serious threat yet. This week, the White House sent Congress a rescissions package that would claw back $1 billion in public media funding. This is not a far-off threat. Congress could act very quickly, and if these cuts are passed, they would immediately slash station funding, forcing cancellations of programs and potentially reducing local news coverage. So we're asking you to urge your members of Congress to vote against rescinding public media funding. Funding Congress already approved. Funding that we're counting on. Funding that a vast majority of Americans actually want us to have. For more information, including quick and easy ways to reach your representative, go to protectmypublicmedia.org. It's the best way you can help. Go to protectmypublicmedia.org. Check it out, get informed, and help spread the word. Protectmypublicmedia.org. Thank you so much.
Bradley Cooper, welcome to Fresh Air.
Tina Fey, welcome.
Bryan Cranston, welcome.
Sarah Silverman,
Karl Rove,
Hillary Clinton,
Stephen Sondheim,
Robert Redford,
Lena Dunham, welcome to Fresh Air.
Welcome to Fresh Air.
Listen to Fresh Air Monday through Thursday at 2 on Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors, celebrating 20 years as the local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. On Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail, morgan-outdoors.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character on Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg. You know, here at Radio Catskill, we've added several new hosts who are playing all kinds of music, and it's very exciting. But I don't know if all of you are aware that we also have someone here who's been on the WJFF airwaves for 34 years and is a folk music DJ icon, inducted into the Folk DJ Hall of Fame in 2022. I'm speaking of none other than Angela Page, whose show, Folk Plus, is on every Sunday afternoon at 2. Angela draws from decades of experience, like running a coffee house in college to being large and in charge at one of Greenwich Village's premier coffee houses, Speakeasy. Please enjoy my conversation with Angela Page. Angela, welcome to Catskill Character. I am so thrilled to have you on today. Let's begin with a bit about your background, Angela. You starting with the fact that you were born in England.
Yep, I was made in England, and I was born in Northumberland, up where coal country is, and then we moved to Canada when I was really young.
Yeah, your family lived in various parts of Ontario, but when you were about to start high school, they moved to Rye, New York. Any marked differences from Ontario to New York? They're both real cold.
Yeah, the weather is exactly the same. I know that people were a little ignorant about Canada when I moved. I was asked, you know, if we have McDonald's and Frisbees and strange things like that.
People would ask ridiculous questions, I'm sure, like, do you have indoor plumbing in Canada?
What do you speak up there?
Yeah, what do you speak?
I loved Rye. It was a quaint English town feel. And since my parents were from England, that's why they chose Rye. But really, no differences.
After high school, and I find this really interesting, you went to Oberlin College to study theater. I was wondering if you'd been involved in theater productions in high school.
Yeah, I did a lot of musicals in the conservatory there. Oberlin and Park Conservatory. And in high school, I was in musicals in Rye. So I've always done theater. But when I was there, I thought, you know, if I'm going to do theater, I should go to New York City and try it. So I quit over.
Well, before we get to that part where you quit, I thought it was really interesting that you played soccer. I mean, Oberlin is not known for its athletics, but they do have a football team. And they do have a soccer team, apparently. This is news to me. What can you tell us about the soccer team?
Well, I went to some coaches and I asked if I could be on the soccer team. And they said they don't have a girls' soccer team. So I tried out for the only soccer team and I made left fullback. Going back to England all the time, I would play soccer with my cousins. And so I learned how to get the ball away from people, but not necessarily do much with it. So that was fun. It was educational. A little aside, which you may or may not want to know. At that point, some guy, Jack, I can't remember his name, who was friends with Patty Hearst, was a coach there. And the FBI followed me around for a little while, wondering, might I be Patty Hearst? I looked a bit like her, and I was her age. And that was sort of interesting.
You were followed around by the FBI?
finally interviewed me, and I got to prove I was Angela Page, etc. But I came in halfway through the year, and it was just suspicious to them. They were just checking it out.
You know, that is so funny, Angela. When I was probably 20, 21, we were definitely fighting the whole Vietnam thing, people my age. And one of the things we did was we didn't pay taxes on our phone bills. That was a protest thing. And don't you know, I was in my apartment one day, minding my own business. The doorbell rings. I go to the door and these two men standing there in suits, and they show me their badges and tell me they're from the FBI. And why aren't I paying my taxes on my phone bill? Can you believe that? I went through the whole spiel about the Vietnam War and, you know, protesting the Vietnam War. They listened to me and they said, next month, you pay your taxes on your phone bill and you pay what you haven't paid. Do you understand? And I said, yes, sir. That was my encounter with the FBI. Anyway, I digress. So you transferred out of Oberlin around your sophomore year and you went to SUNY Oneonta. You were already playing guitar and you were interested in folk music. So just as a bit of background, I'd love for you to talk about your moment of inspiration on a bus going to summer camp, a girl named Pandora, and the music of Janis Ian.
Living in Canada, I went to summer camp when I was about 11, and I was so mesmerized by Pandora with her long dark braids and the fact she brought a guitar to camp, and she was playing Hair of Spun Gold and some early Janis Ian. And I was so taken. When I went home, I started playing guitar. My brother had three guitars, so I just took over one of them. And I just threw myself into the music he was listening to, Kingston Trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Paul Simon, Chad Mitchell Trio, and Janis Ian. And when I interviewed her, she said summer camp was so important, and she went to summer camp around here.
Yep. I wonder which one she went to.
When we talk about my website, I have her interview there. People can listen.
Oh, good. So with that in mind, how did you get involved with Sidetracks, the coffee house at Oneonta, and what kinds of things did you do there?
Well, Oneonta had a coffee house and a good soccer team, and those two things drew me to the school.
Oh, there you go.
I gave up on theater in New York City and thought, I'll always do theater, but not as a main thing. So I thought, well, I'll run a coffee house. And I named it Sidetrack because Oneonta had the biggest sidetrack in the Northeast, I believe, where all these, a roundhouse, where all these trains would meet and go off in different directions.
So let me interrupt you for 1 second. So there was no coffee house there before. This is something that you started from the ground up.
I started the sidetrack. There was something there. It was called the Indian, and people were complaining that it was the wooden Indian because there's always pushback on Indian being a team sport name or to offend anybody, we changed it. And actually, I thought, wow, that's sort of historically a bad sign. I thought, ooh, that wasn't that good. But it became the Sidetrack Cafe. I had people up from the village, the Roaches. I had Stan Rogers down from Canada. I think it was on his first tour of the U.S. I was proud to have hosted him. Anybody who came had a four-night run. They were paid really well and put up in the union. So it was terrific. It made me think, I want to run a club, which eventually I did.
Let's tell the listener a little bit about the Roaches for those listeners who don't know who they are.
Three sisters from Hohokus, New Jersey. Maggie and Terry were the oldest, and they went into the city when they were 17 and 16, and they played clubs, and Paul Simon really liked Maggie's writing. They're doing background on one of his albums, maybe Crazy after all these years. Anyway, and then eventually when Susie got old enough and she graduated Purchase College, she joined them. And as a trio, they toured everywhere. Really tight harmonies, a very different sound. I remember them at the bottom line. I remember Linda Ronstadt coming in and sitting front and center, trying to see exactly what they did. Was really enamored with them. I just thought they were up and coming, terrific artists. So I grabbed them early on, I think before they signed with Warner Brothers.
There's nothing like sister harmony.
Yes, I agree.
Absolutely. I really have always really loved them. So how did you go about choosing your acts?
I'd listen to CDs or hear them on the radio or go see them at Reactionary Mary's in Albany, no longer around, or the Freeze-Dried Coffee House. Just coffee houses on weekends. The Town Crier, which is now in Beekman, but was on right off the Taconic Parkway in a tiny little place with a long white porch. Phil Saganer still runs that. So I'd see people and then, or even festivals, and ask them to come. So I ran that for a couple of years.
Were people trying to get in there at some point? I mean, it kind of grew, right? It got to be pretty big. So did you have agents calling you up and saying, you got to have my group, you got to have these people?
That can be annoying. It still happens now with CDs. You got to play me. Or when I was a judge for the Falcon Ridge Festival, you know, why aren't you picking my person who's so awesome? I remember Oscar Brandt calling. I shouldn't speak ill of him. He's passed. But it's like, I want to play your club. And I was like, yeah, okay, where are you playing live? I'll come see you. How do people play your effing club? You know, I'm Oscar Brandt. You know, it's just like pressure. But
wow.
If somebody moves me or their songs are clever and different and I want to give them awareness to the public, then I get them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, oh, I see that you're famous or you've been around a long time.
You still want it to be quality and you still want it to be in the flow of what the club is. I'm sure there's some people that were famous that wanted to play that maybe wouldn't even have fit in there.
No, because this is a college crowd and I knew the audience and I knew the songs that would move them. So I didn't think Oscar Brandt. I thought he was in the old guard, and I wasn't sure that's what we were going for.
Did you ever meet Pete Seeger?
Sure. Pete Seeger was involved with the People's Music Network at a time when my husband John and I were running the kids camp of the music network. So we'd stay together in the house. Everybody else would camp. I remember him telling me he signed a book he'd written, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? And he said, you know, I think there's a lot of mistakes in this book. But if I didn't just put it out and waited for perfectionism, I wouldn't have done anything.
Yeah.
And I think about that a lot because I tend to be a perfectionist. And if you don't just move on something with something, you may not get it done, whatever that is. So
yeah.
He said really cool things. And not with fanfare, not with a big crowd, just walking with you from one spot to another. He was just full of great lines and inspiration and just a very honest, humble man.
Mm. What did you think of the depiction of him in the movie about Bob Dylan that was out recently?
Oh, we'll do a whole hour on that, Donna. But, I mean, I couldn't get over the facts that were wrong. There were just so many facts wrong. He didn't mentor Dylan the way the movie says he did. Sure, they were friends. I've seen the postcard where he writes and says, you weren't sounding good. I wanted to cut the sound. As a librarian, I get sort of hooked on the facts. And he didn't bring Dylan over to see Woody. He just wasn't as omnipresent. But the acting was terrific because they only had what they had to go
on. Yeah. Gee, you know, you're right, Angela. We could talk about so many things for hours, but I think we're going to have to take a break here. All the experience certainly helped to prepare you for your job at Speakeasy, the famous coffee house in New York City, in the Village, where you worked for several years. And we'll hear about that when we come back from a quick break. You've been listening to Catskill Character with me, your host, Donna Fellenberg, and my guest, Angela Page. We'll be right back.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Baseball Hall of Famer Jim Rice revealed the secret to hitting.
C-ball, hit ball, C-ball, hit ball.
At Peter Sagal, we will reduce a lot of complicated things to their essence on this week's News Quiz with special guest NASCAR legend Jeff Gordon, who presumably will tell us, drive car fast. That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
Thank you. Next time on City Arts and Lectures, our guest is Ron Chernow. He'll talk about his newest biography, Mark Twain. It covers the very colorful life of America's first literary celebrity. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures on this public radio station.
City Arts and Lectures, Sunday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Catskill Character on Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg, and today my guest is Angela Page, who's had a show on WJFF Radio Catskill for 34 years. In the first half of the show, Angela told us about growing up in Canada, moving to the U.S., and attending high school in Rye, New York. She went on to Oberlin College in Ohio and then transferred to SUNY Oneonta. That's where her deep dive into the world of folk music really took off, gaining vast amounts of experience from managing the Oneonta Coffee House Sidetracks. Angela, after college in Oneonta, what was your next move?
Well, I actually pursued a master's in library science at Rutgers, and I got a job at the Englewood Library, so I was taking a bus between the two places. And then I got involved in a club because Folk City was going out of business and turning into less of a folk music venue. So I got involved with a club we named Speakeasy on McDougal Street. So I was working at Speakeasy till like 1 a.m, then getting up and taking a bus to Rutgers, and then taking a bus up to Englewood and closing the library at 9 o'clock and coming back and doing that three-point triangle of activities. When you're young, you just keep going.
You think you can do anything. You have all this energy, and you actually are in two places at the same time. Do you have a favorite memory from your time at Speakeasy that you'd like to share with the listener?
Well, apart from the fact that it was like a co-op and everybody pitched in and nobody was more famous than anyone else, like Dave Van Ronk used to say, just keep building it, people will come. Probably the most famous thing that happened there, not my most favorite, but the most famous, was the Bob Dylan Imitators Contest, which happened in August of 82. I was thinking of themes constantly, you know, people with glasses and they'd all play one night, or you know, people who are Sagittarius and they'd all play one night. And a lot of the people who came for the dollar nights, which were Mondays, really to me sounded like they were trying to be Dylan. And I thought, oh my gosh, let's have a whole night where everybody can be Dylan. They sent the press down there. Then we thought, you know what, we better get some good judges. So we got Cynthia Gooding. We got Mike Porco, of course, who booked him at Folk Plus.
Right.
Dave Van Ronk. All these people became judges. And then we had categories, post-motorcycle accident Dylan, religious Dylan. And everybody signed up for a category. And Eric Franzen, who's really hysterical and was often our MC along with Christine Lavin, hosted the night. And it was crazy. It's actually on YouTube. You can listen to Frank Christian, who is the overall winner, who did sound very much like Dylan.
Is Speakeasy still there?
No, it's called the Something Pear. It's a bar. It was right next door to Panchitos, which was there forever, a Mexican restaurant. It is also gone, but that's the way of the world, right?
Yeah. Did I ever tell you that I was in a jug band? I actually was only in this jug band for a short period of time because the washtub bass player got married and got pregnant, and they needed somebody to fill in for her while she was at home with her baby. And my boyfriend at the time was the lead singer of this jug band. And so I played the washtub bass. It's amazing the sound you can get out of a washtub bass, I have to say.
What's the group called?
They were called the Dirty Birdies Jug Band. And I don't know if you remember this, Cousin Brucey had this thing called the Big Break. It was at Radio City. It was a competition with all these bands. Well, the Dirty Birdies won that. And you were supposed to get, you were supposed to get a record deal and all that. Of course, nothing really happened. But anyway, all this to tell you that I would go to Gertie's a lot because the Dirty Birdies played there a lot. Mm-hmm. And it was such a tiny little place. People just packed in. It was a lot of fun. And it is no more, as you pointed out. So how did you get involved with Radio Catskill, which I should say was known as WJFF at the time?
Well, I tuned into the folk shows. There was one in the morning where Ballads and Banjos is now. Later in the morning, Dan Lapstein had Folk Plus. He was traveling a long way and it was snowing once, and I called Kevin. Greff answered the phone. I said, "Is Dan Lapstein coming in?" He said, "No, can you get out of your driveway?"
That's the criteria for becoming a DJ.
That is the short answer. I got there. He said, "Bring folk CDs." So I did. And he said, "This is CD one player. This is CD two. Press this button, press that. And here's the mic." And he just sort of threw me in the room. And I thought, okay, I think I can do this. And then, of course, they were like, "Can you do this every other week? Because Dan can't get here." And then Dan stopped. So that's how I got involved.
Wow. You know, one of the things I love about your show is that you have a theme for every week. And now that we're talking about it, this must have come from your experience down in the village because you had themes. You had glasses.
Yes. Yes. Ladies.
I was going to ask you how that came about, but now I know.
You know, Mike Porco at the time was saying, "Oh, I like that. I put a sign out saying, girls, girls, girls." I said, no.
Not the spirit in which it was devised.
No. But themes actually keep me from being bored. I get so many CDs and I'll listen to a song and it's really a great song about how close someone is with their sister. It's well executed. The lyrics are good. There's hooks musically that doesn't have wife life rhyming. Uh-huh. So I say, that's excellent. Wow, that makes me think of Irene Kelly. She has a really good song about sister. Oh, wait a minute. There's that other song about sisters. And before I know it, I've created like a bucket of songs about sisters. And if I don't have enough for an hour, I will add brothers. And then I have a sibling hour. So I kind of do that. Or I label them when I get them. Like just now I was listening to something. I didn't want to play it yet, but I put in the subject line poverty. And when I get to a show where I'm going to do poverty or money or who knows what, I might play that. And then maybe I'll play something from Les Mis. I want it to be a good journey for a listener.
Do you have anybody helping you to keep track of all these CDs? You're laughing, so I guess I know the answer.
Well, is this where I give my phone number if somebody would like to? Oh my gosh, that is the hard work. I'm very close with Sunny Oaks, Phil Oaks' sister. I call her maybe weekly and I say, what have you liked? And actually, she's so overwhelmed, she stopped playing new things. So it's very hard to keep up with new things. And that's why I've asked Debbie Fisher. She took 30 CDs before I went away recently. And she listened to them. And that was my Folk Plus show for the last couple of weeks. I may ask her to do that if she's willing. Because I can't keep up. And all these artists are creative and deserve airtime.
You've been involved in the educational aspects of folk music. Can you tell the listener about the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance, which is known as NRFA?
Yeah, it's been around a long time. I think the first form of it was the Coffee House Showcase Festival, which was in Oneonta, which I ran with Jerry Goldstein. But now it's NRFA. It's the Northeast. Everybody comes together, whether they're a publicist, an agent, a magazine on folk, an artist, and there's workshops and judges and showcases. And it's really brainstorming and networking of all like people, all the people that are moved by this kind of music. It's mm-hmm. always good to find people who love what you love. And to be in a room with all these people who just are so moved by a clever line or a great musical hook, it's magic.
And it's good to hear that folk music is still alive and kicking.
Yeah, it always was. It's just how much press is it getting?
Yeah, that's true. Well, you were inducted into the Folk DJ Hall of Fame in 2022, which took place in Kansas City. What was that like for you, Angela?
Well, that's done by the International Folk Alliance. So it's worldwide. And I was awestruck. I got the email. I read it and read it and I kept reading it. I mean, Fiona Ritchie got this award a few years ago. And I mean, really big deal DJs. So I was so honored. And I couldn't fly to Kansas City, but I recorded a little acceptance talking about how I really try and make a journey for a listener. Hopefully it moves them the way this kind of music moves me. It's like therapy, really.
You spent your whole life promoting folk music and the artists who perform folk music. It's obviously extremely important to you. I was wondering, what keeps you going?
I think the feeling that I get when I hear a really dynamite song. Like, people listen to music and they think, oh, that was me in 11th grade, or that music does something. It really captures a moment or a person. It's a grabbable moment that's so deep, it's hard to explain. So like I said just now, it's like therapy.
Yeah.
And I like to honor the artists that are so clever or creative and then put them together with other artists. And I did something decades ago with Christine Lavin. I would always make a tape of my show and give it to an artist that I would see. And they would be able to listen to it driving cross country to their next gig because they never got to see each other with their touring. And that became a really fun sideline. So somebody who loves Christine Lavin might go to her show and she would give out the cassette. So that was a good way to spread folk music.
Well, Angela, we have to wrap up, but before we do, please tell the listener about your website or any other contact information you want to give.
Yeah, my very creative hip daughter, Miranda, made my new website, Folk Plus Radio. So it's easy to read and navigate, and it points you to the last show. But forever, I kept a website, folkplus.com. Folkplus.com is decades of themed set lists. And then Folk Plus Radio is much cleaner, easier to read, and will have my latest show. Well, people who love folk might want to tune in to Folk Music Notebook. It's a 24/7 online folk music show. So DJs from all over the place will have 1 hour to repeat their show. So whatever I do for JFF is repeated on Folk Music Notebook on the following Wednesday. That's a really great source for artists and folk music.
Right. And it's good for JFF too.
Yes, because people listening will hear. That's where I'm from, and I'll talk about the area. So it's good for everybody. Raises all the boats.
Everybody wins. Thank you so much, Angela.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Catskill Character on Radio Catskill. My guest today has been Angela Page, whose show, Folk Plus, is on every Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock on Radio Catskill. Catskill Character is on every Saturday at 10:30, so please join us then for more fascinating stories from characters of the Catskills and beyond. I'm Donna Fellenberg. Thanks so much for listening.
Support comes from Sullivan 180, building healthy communities through people, places, and policy one degree at a time. More information at sullivan180.org. From The River Reporter, the community newspaper covering 4 counties in Pennsylvania and New York along the Upper Delaware River. RiverReporter.com. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
We tend to associate brainwashing with cults and hostages, but scientific historian Rebecca Lamov says it can happen to anyone.
It's not pure coercion. There's an element of participation. There's a kind of a yes, even if it's unknown to yourself or not.
The Instability of Truth, the History and Science of Brainwashing, and What It Teaches Us as Misinformation Spreads Online. That's on the next On Point.
Monday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
Hi, it's Mimi. This week, the White House asked Congress to claw back funds that were already approved for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Nearly a quarter of Radio Catskill's funding comes from the CPB. Its loss threatens local and national programs that our listeners rely on. Urge Congress to vote against rescinding public media funding. Find out how at protectmypublicmedia.org. That's protectmypublicmedia.org. Thank you.
WJFF Jeffersonville. From river to river, mountain to mountain, we are Radio Catskill.